from West Virginia. Coach, welcome to the Big 12 Media Days and your thoughts about the upcoming season.
All right, well, let's go. Day two, year eight for me here. You know, it's good to be here, good to be back. I tell you, this is an amazing place. Every time I come back here, we've been here around four times, it just keeps growing. What an unbelievable place this is. They were gracious enough to let us practice in here when we're getting ready for the bowl game. And so it's a great practice situation, obviously, but do a great job of hosting this event as well. I can see why Tavon Austin is excited right now. He's a Cowboy now, so he's excited. You know, got traded over here and was came here. Took him about 2 minutes to figure out this is a pretty awesome place. So, you know, he's excited to be here. Our guys are excited to be here. You know, it's getting close. We still got a little bit of vacation left, so we're not going to start practicing here tomorrow. But got still about two and a half weeks. They let us practice August 2nd, so that's when we'll get started. So take some questions.
Okay, we'll take questions. If you would, please put your hand up. We got a question up here on the front right, and if you would give your name and your affiliation.
Hey, Coach, Andrew Miner with 24/7 Sports. With all your offensive weapons and other returners coming back, how are you guys handling the preseason expectations and hype?
Well, we welcome expectations. Heck, you want them to talk about you. We want you guys to talk about us. You know, I think we got a good group coming back. You know, had a decent year last year. You know, did some good things offensively. You know, but there's a whole lot of things that I feel like we can do better, and our guys think that they can do better. So, we want improvement. You know, but handling the expectations aspect of it. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, there's, you know, I know I'm going to get a lot of how you handling the pressure of being picked second or whatever it is. I don't care where you're picked. It doesn't matter. There's pressure everywhere. So, you know, there's pressure to live up to the expectations or pressure to create expectations. And I think our guys are old. I think our coaching staff has, you know, tremendous continuity, been around, been working together for a long time. That helps manage things. And then got old players, which is going to help manage things as well.
Question on the front right.
Brandon Drum, 247. I know you guys, it's a long ways down the road, and you play Oklahoma at the end of the year. But saying, you know, like you said, you guys have high expectations, everybody's expecting you all, you and Oklahoma to be the top in the Big 12. Having that said, if that top plays out, you guys have to play back-to-back. How do you, I guess, handle that, playing back-to-back that quickly within in consecutive weeks?
Don't know. Don't know, never done it, and not going to think about it. We got to play Tennessee. That's our first game. That's our focus. You know, obviously we've been in this league for 6-7 years now, so you know, there's familiarity with every opponent in the league. You know, the back-to-back thing, I don't know. I'm sure it's happened before. We get to a point to where that's something that we have to deal with. We'll research it and we'll deal with it the best way possible.
We had a question over here in the middle left side.
Ian Boyd from Inside Texas. Do you feel that it's becoming a better strategy to find top-end talent through transfers rather than recruiting high school players?
That's a good question. We we changed our recruiting strategy probably 4 years ago. You know, kind of had to figure that out going into the Big 12. Didn't quite know how to do it coming from the Big East. But we did. We felt like we needed to change it. I didn't think our talent level across the board. We had some high-end talent early, but our talent level across the board, depth-wise, was not where it needed to be in order to compete in the Big 12. This is an unbelievable conference. It's extremely deep. You got to play 9 games in a row. You're going to have guys go down. You're going to play a lot of people. And if you're weak at any spot, then these great teams in the Big 12, especially offensively, they're going to capitalize on that. So, you know, getting good local Northeast high school kids has been very successful for us. Something I had to get used to and did for a couple of years. And then going out there and filling holes with transfers. You know, there's a lot of different transfers out there. And this is a hot topic across the country, as we all know. What we've been successful with is finding junior college kids, finding four-year guys that need to sit a year, and then finding grad students as well, you know, that can come in and play right away. We've had success with all three, and we'll continue to do so.
Got a question on the right side.
Good morning, Coach. Bob Akhiri with Reddit College Football. Depth has been a bit of a concern for the Mountaineers, and managing that across the whole season. What are you doing to address that beyond your starters?
That's a great shirt, man. You look like you should be on a beach or down south somewhere. yeah, I did. I just talked about it, honestly. I mean, you know, the depth has been better and better every year, I think. You know, it's year to year, but I think we have a recruiting strategy to be able to fill holes. And you know, I think this team is, you know, we've recruited better. You know, we worked with our freshmen, you know, freshmen and junior college kids all summer. In June, we worked with them, and those guys look different than the guys that we've brought in. So depth from a younger a player point of view is going to be good, but then just filling them with as many older guys through transfers as we can. I do think depth-wise is the only way that you can win this league. You're going to have guys go down, and you got to fill those spots with guys that can play at a very high level. And that's what needs to happen in order to be successful in this league.
Question here on the front left.
Sorry, I'm not walking off
yet. Hi, Coach. Chris Ross, Land Grant Gauntlet. This year you open up against Tennessee. Over the last few years you've had marquee opponents right out of the gate. Is that something you prefer scheduling-wise? Does that help motivate the team during the offseason? Just tell us a little bit about the thought behind that.
Yeah, we're gonna play Power 5 schools. I know Commissioner Bowlesby sat up here and gave you the stats on number of Power 5 schools that everybody plays. We're very proud of that. At WVU, we play 11 Power 5 schools. You know, you got NC State, Tennessee, along with obviously the 9 Big 12 opponents. I wish everybody would do that. It's not quite fair that we have to play that schedule, and then you got some schools in some other respective conferences that play 9. They play 9 Power 5 schools, you know, so... It's uneven, but we're going to keep doing it. It's fair to our fan base to be able to play local schools that they remember great games in the past. You know, Tennessee's never played them, but they're our neighbor. You know, and we're going to play that game in Charlotte, which is our number one alumni base in the United States. So it's going to be exciting for everybody. Our players are excited about it. Our fan base is excited about it. We got Pitt and the old backyard brawl is going to be coming on the schedule. Penn State's coming on the schedule. We got Maryland on the schedule. We're going to play 10, 11 Power 5 schools every year. I wish the other teams would do that as well. It's good for the fan base. It's good for TV. It's good for everything.
We got a question on the left front.
Hey, Dane, it's Suzanne Halliburton, Austin American Statesman. I wanted to ask you about your transfers, and you do take several, like, D1 transfers, like Will Greer. How much do you vet those guys extra than you would, say, a kid coming out of high school? And when did you know Will Greer was a good fit for you all, and how did you know?
Yeah, we're pretty we research it, definitely, with not only four-year guys, but grad transfers. And junior college transfers as well. It's a little trickier with high school guys. You know, you don't have as much information on those guys. But the thing with transfers is you got to figure out why they're transferring. And you know, you got some new proposal out there. And you know, I don't know how I feel about it yet. You know, guys at some point are always going to want to transfer. But why are you transferring? I don't want to hear because they're not giving me a chance. I don't want to hear that. You know, I mean, that's garbage. Every coach out there gives every player a chance. They recruit them. They're going to give them a chance. I got to figure out why they're transferring. And, you know, coaching changes affect that, which it did Will. He needed a fresh start. I got to know his family, got to know Will, and knew he's going to be a fantastic fit for us. You know, he's from Charlotte. It's 5 hours down the road. He's got a very supportive family. They're able to come see him play a whole bunch. We obviously had a need at that position, and he came in, he paid his time. This whole transfer and be eligible right away, I mean, the only way I think that it should be a reality ever in life is if you graduate. If you graduate at a specific school, then I think you should be able to have options. If you don't, then I think you need to pay a price, which is sit a year. You know, we got three more guys coming eligible this year that all transferred from specific Power 5 schools. T.J. Simmons and Giovanni Haskins and Jack Allison, they had reasons why they wanted to transfer. They came in, they sat a year, they paid the price, and now they're going to play for us next year.
Question on the outside, right?
Hey, Dan, it's Brian Baldinger of Fox Sports. About a year ago, Danny, you turned over the play calling duty to Jake. And I was just curious, as a guy that spent his whole life calling plays, the adjustment for you game day, and then just reflection, looking back on it, do you like your new role?
Yeah, I became very interested in special teams. I had to do something, you know, so. You know, my game day stuff, and I never once questioned anything that he was calling. we weren't incredibly efficient last year offensively, and that's been the sole topic of discussion from January 1 until where we're currently at. And I think, you know, just watching the practices and how Jake and Will interact, which is they got as good a relationship that exists from a play caller and a quarterback that I've ever seen. So I'm very comfortable with where they're at, and you know, year two is always going to become more efficient, and I'm excited about watching that. My job is to manage people, whether it's coaches, whether it's players, manage the game, and then special teams is kind of the glue between offense and defense. I spend as much time with the defense as I do the offense, you know. So I manage players, I manage the game, and then special teams kind of glues the two sides together.
Question on the aisle left.
Hey, Dana, Jenny Carlson with the Oklahoman. To follow up on Suzanne's question about Will, you guys are promoting him for Heisman. He's obviously preseason player of the year in the league. How do you think he's going to be able to handle those expectations? And then sort of a follow-up on that, just generally the characteristics he has that you think help make him as successful as he is a quarterback.
Yeah, I would never approve a campaign unless I felt like a player could handle it. That's my job as far as managing players, and you know, Will's he's a very older, mature coach's kid, you know, and I've made this comment several times. He's ready for this. He's prepared himself his whole life for this, you know, and you see as you talk to him throughout the course of the day that you know, I got no worries about him. You know, not understanding expectations and how to deal with expectations. He's a very mature kid, and he can handle this. He's prepared. He's played a lot of football. He played so much football in high school. He's played a lot of college ball. You can just tell in spring practice that the game slowed down for him. So he's a very cerebral kid, and understands what's out there and what he's got to do, and knows that he's got a lot of good players around him. And that he doesn't have to go out there and be Superman. I mean, he can just manage the game himself and run the offense, which he's more comfortable doing now than he was a year ago. But just from his personality and who he is as a person, he'll be able to handle it just fine. And his dad trained him to do that when he was about two. So that job was already done by the time I got him.
We got time for two more questions. You got one on the left side, and then we'll come to the front.
Dana, Blair Kirkhoff with the Kansas City Star. You've got West Virginia sort of uniquely positioned with the sports gambling passed by the Supreme Court. And I'm wondering if you have, first of all, general thoughts on that, and then maybe more specifically how maybe the school or the league should handle injury information.
It's been discussed. You know, obviously, because it's such a high-profile situation across the country, then it's been discussed within, you know, our office and our administration office. You know, we'll talk to our players about it. We do every year. You know, it used to be the number one thing that would get you banned from being able to play football. I mean, it was a clear-cut number one. It's probably a clear-cut number two now, based on what's happened here in the last few years. But it's something that we'll address with them. I don't have any fears of, you know, if there's five different spots in West Virginia, I don't think any of our players are going to go do that. They're the most recognizable figures in our state. I mean, if they're dumb enough to do that, then they're dumb enough to do a whole bunch of stuff. So I don't worry about that. You know, with that said, it's something that we're going to have to discuss. You know, the injury thing, I got my own opinions on injuries. My opinion's always going to be, if the guy's out long term, I'll say it. If I don't know, then I'm not going to say it. You know, because you never know how kids respond to injuries and when they're going to be able to come back. These guys are not pros. You know, they're amateurs. They're still trying to figure out how to play through specific injuries and stuff like that. So if a guy's out long term, I say it. If he's not, then we're not going to talk about him.
This will be the final question for Coach on the front right.
Hey, Dana. Scott Fritchin with GoBearcat.com. Got a Bill Snyder question for you. He's going to be 79 in October. He had the cancer last year. Surprised you at all that he came back for another year? And can you give me your favorite Bill Snyder story?
Nothing he does surprises me. I've watched him coach growing up as a kid. I've talked about this in length. He's one of my heroes and one of the guys that I've always looked up to. When I was a small kid in Iowa, I was watching him on the sidelines and all that, and then followed his career at Kansas State. He's a Hall of Fame football coach and is resilient as resilient gets. So it's not surprising that he's still going. I ain't doing it when I'm 79. I'll be lucky to be here when I'm 79. You know, but I admire him for everything that he's done, everything that he's accomplished, everything that he's brought to the sport of football, everything he's brought to the coaching community. One of the most respected guys in the history of our game, and you know, excited about being able to compete with him again. You know, he's always incredibly gracious before the game and incredibly complimentary after the game. Doesn't matter if he wins or loses. He's always the same guy. The letters are famous, and nobody else in this profession does that.
Okay, Coach, thank you very much, and best of luck for the season.
Thank you all.